Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers, he is calling me Dude!
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to the podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Well, dude, it's the last podcast before we're either talking about the Sharks being in the playoffs or talking about the Sharks missing the playoffs for the first time in
8 years? 9 years?
No. Well, let's see.
2003, I think it was.
It's been so long.
Yeah. We don't remember.
We can't remember.
They didn't even have cars then.
Yeah, back in the day when you walked barefoot in the snow to get to the arena.
And the ice was made of wood.
Back when the Sharks were filled with Russian players. Had a deaf guy on the blue line.
And are you making a Tom Pettersson joke?
No, that was Jim Kite.
Oh, yeah, you're right, Jim Kite.
I think he was legally deaf.
I stand corrected.
And he played on the blue line.
Right.
That was...
Yeah, good times.
Okay, let's keep going.
You were tempted to want to stop there and start
over,
weren't you?
Yeah, I thought about making, like, a deaf joke, and then the other part of me thought, well, what if I offend someone? And then I thought, well, if I do offend them, they clearly don't listen to the podcast. So.
It's true. It's not like they can hear it.
You know, but
this is an excellent point.
This is a great way to start the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways.
Well, Sharks, we got to start with a little humor because right now it's just tension in Sharks land.
Yeah.
Dude. It's just lots and lots of tension.
It's pretty puckered right now. It's pretty puckered.
Yeah. After a good few games, we were pretty up last week. And then the Sharks managed to bring us all the way back down by losing to the Ducks in an embarrassing fashion and then losing to LA and putting them in, what, 10th place at that point. So it was looking pretty grim. The Sharks were in a must-win situation against the Stars, and they had a very good game against the Stars, winning 3-0. Niemi with the shutout, and now the Sharks are again back in. The site that everyone quotes, I can't remember even the name of the site, but whatever it is, says that the Sharks have a greater than 50% chance now to make the playoffs with 3 games remaining. Another game against the Stars, and then a home-and-home against the Kings. So, dude, what rate the Sharks' chances? What do you think will happen? What do you think must happen for the Sharks to make the postseason? You know, give it to me straight.
I think what must happen is they must get 2 points against Dallas tomorrow.
Okay.
I think that's a must. When you talk about how the Ducks have ownage on the Sharks this year, we saw that they dropped 5 of 6 to them, right?
Yeah.
Well, if we beat Dallas tomorrow, then we've taken 5 of 6 from the Stars.
Okay.
Right? And I think we've gotten a point in every game. I think we got a point in the game we lost to them, I think. Mm-hmm. Matt D'Agostini, I don't have that in front of me.
Right.
So we have similar ownage on Dallas, and we need to impose that ownage on them tomorrow night. And really beating them kind of knocks them out. And that would put us at 92. You know, we've talked about Phoenix having an easier schedule.
Right.
So that would leave Dallas at 89, probably 3 points behind us at that point. And they've got to play St. Louis and Nashville.
Yeah, that's tough.
That's tough. And both those teams still have stuff to play for. I mean, Nashville's battling with Detroit for home ice. St. Louis is a point behind Vancouver for the President's Trophy. I mean,
yeah, neither of those games are going to be easy at all. And with the Stars playing the way they've been playing, you'd think they probably wouldn't be able to make it up.
You got to bury them now. So I'd say that's a must, dude. What is your must?
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm just worried about LA because we haven't played all that great against LA. And we haven't played, as Ray Ratto mentioned, and we will talk about that in a moment. Sharks have not played well at home. I mean, on the road, excuse me. They have not played well on the road. So basically all road games I am concerned about at this point.
Right.
And that concern will extend into the playoffs should the Sharks make it.
Yeah, I think they need to win 2 out of 3. They don't.
I think they win 2 out of 3. They have a very good chance. I don't have all of the scenarios mapped out. If they get 4 more points, that'll give them, what, 94 points? And there would have to be a pretty crazy turn of events in order for the Sharks to lose out.
It's going to come down to that last game, dude.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's going to come down to the Sharks making the playoffs at the last game. I think it's going to come down to, will they be the three
mm-hmm.
or will they be like the eight?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
like
yeah, yeah.
what's it going to be? Mm-hmm. You know, do you get home ice against the Blackhawks or even the Preds? I mean, now you see Chicago has gone 7-1-2 in their last 10 and they could go all the way up to the four.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go, dude.
Here we go.
How about San Jose going to the three and Detroit sliding all the way to the six, dude? You know that's what's going to happen.
Oh, man.
That
might actually be the best draw for the Sharks.
That could be the best draw. Who'd have thought? You know, because then the Red Wings would be like, oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, God.
This
again, you know?
Yeah.
That could be the remedy for what ails San Jose, so... That's why it's so critical that they get the three. It really is, because mm-hmm. if they end up in a 7-8 situation and end up going to Vancouver in the mm-hmm. first round, dude, it's going to be very hard to pick the Sharks.
Yeah, yeah, it's,
you know?
It's basically going to be impossible. I think either Blues or Canucks matchup, you have to think the Sharks are going to be pretty big underdogs there. Two good instances or counterexamples, or not a counterexample, but two good things to think about, dude, is one... The Philadelphia Flyers made the playoffs on the last day of the season and made it to the Cup Finals. Okay, so that's something nice to think about, right? So I remember they beat the Rangers, right? And it went to overtime, didn't it?
Right, right.
So that was a fun time. I remember watching that game. So that's a good thing for the Sharks. The other thing is a guy I know that I work with is a massive Canadian fan of hockey, lives in Ottawa, huge Habs fan, was texting me when they fired... Pierre Lacroix, which is funny. It wasn't Pierre.
Gauthier.
Yeah, Pierre Gauthier, excuse me. He still thinks the Sharks are going to come out of the West, even now. So that buoyed my spirits a little bit. But also I said, you don't watch any Sharks games. So you have no idea what you're talking about.
But, it's hard to have that yeah, kind of confidence.
It is.
But you see when they play to their potential that you can shut out a team that has its playoff life on the line mm-hmm. in Dallas. I mean, you can just shut them out. And that's the Sharks when they're playing at their best. And then you see them two games before in Anaheim at their worst, you know?
Yeah.
Where they just can't score, can't do anything right.
Can you help me understand why the Sharks lose to the Ducks? Because you look at their lineup and you look at their third and fourth lines and you say, what's going on? Like, how is this possible? To me, the Ducks have about six good players and somehow they beat the Sharks all the time. After watching that game, dude, can you help me understand what it is that the Sharks were doing wrong or what it is the Ducks were doing right? Or is it just like the Hiller show again?
I can't help you understand, but I can help you how to deal with it.
Okay.
Horse tranquilizer.
Got it.
And gin. All right. I don't know. It's not any other combination of drugs or alcohol, but that really stabilized me earlier in the week.
Right, right.
I felt a lot better about myself.
Kind of reminds me of that scene in Ronin where they're talking about torture and they said, what'd they give you? And he says, a grasshopper. And they said, what's a grasshopper? And he says, it's two parts creamed menth and one part gin. So, yeah, that's. I think we might be needing a grasshopper this coming Saturday, dude, because there's going to be some massive tension in the building. But I see that you're looking up the box score here of the Ducks game.
Well, you look at it, the Sharks, again, cannot stop their premium players, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Ryan, Timu Solani, you know, Corey Perry scores, you know, an empty netter, right?
Right.
So you get their top players, and that's always been a problem, except for last year. It wasn't a problem last year. Sharks right. destroyed the Ducks last year, but, you know, they've had problems matching up, and I think Todd McClellan said as much, that our top guys have a hard time matching up with their top guys.
Right.
It just doesn't work out for them. There's no common sense to it. When the rest of their league seems to have no problem.
I have some common sense. Okay. Why put our top guys against their top guys if our top guys aren't doing so well against their top guys?
Well, that goes...
spitballing here.
Yeah, that goes back to the stubbornness of this coaching staff, that they seem to be, from the layman's point of view, unwilling to make a major adjustment and counter strategize. Yeah. I haven't seen them really do that, you know?
I'm really liking Daniel Winnick. The more I see Daniel Winnick play, the more I like him. He looks great on the penalty kill. It's not often you see the Sharks up 2-0 or whatever they were at the time against Dallas, and basically they get a standing ovation due to a penalty kill. And a big part of that was Daniel Winnick and Dominic Moore pairing in front on the PK. And so this is at least finally we're seeing what we wanted to see, which is, okay, we went and got these new defensive players. Let's put them on the PK. Daniel Winnick and Dominic Moore were deadly on the PK. Dallas could do nothing at all on one particular penalty kill. And Daniel Winnick basically like skated around everybody in the offensive zone and like froze the puck against the boards. Like three guys came and checked him. So he like chipped him to himself behind the net and he like froze it again. And it's like, you could sense the frustration coming off the Dallas players from that. And Daniel Winnick just owned them in that PK. It was awesome.
If they can start to perform the roles that Doug Wilson anticipated they would when he traded some significant assets to get mm-hmm. both those players, and let's say the Sharks roll off 3 more wins this week and go into the playoffs, having won 4 in a row, they're the third seed, they draw Detroit, it's going to be a different mood at this table.
Yeah, the tables would have turned.
And there's going to be a different mood amongst most Sharks fans. But even if that happens, mm-hmm. the hot and cold nature of this team and their ability to just sort of be desensitized almost when they have things going well, you know, they beat Boston.
Right.
They have a big win against Phoenix at home. And then they go on the road with the opportunity to put some distance between them and some other teams. And they drop 2 straight, you know, in LA. And I don't know what to make of it. I don't understand it. On paper, there's no doubt that this team is better. And I think a lot of us thought they would be the best Sharks team that has skated out on the ice in recent memory.
Right.
And instead, they are clinging by Todd McClellan gray hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
To a playoff spot.
It's true. It's true. And there was a post on Puck Daddy today by Ryan Lambert called "What We Learned: Playoffs or Not, This Sharks Season Shouldn't Be Acceptable." So I invite you to read that. But he says we all agree that the Sharks missing the playoffs would be disastrous for the organization, and this ignores the fact that the Sharks not missing the playoffs, sneaking into the 8th or if they're lucky 7th spot, is likely to be equally disastrous. The owners will make a few bucks, but they'll get flattened by Vancouver or St. Louis in a relatively short period of time. And all that will be accomplished is the extending of their season by about 2 weeks at best. So, you're right. It's just it's a question mark of what's going on, especially since it appears that the Sharks are better than they were last year. If you look at this roster up and down, it looks like they're better. So, I guess we're going to see. We're going to see.
We're going to see. And once you get to the playoffs, it's everything that happened before is gone.
It's new ball game.
It's a totally new ball game, but it is going to be hard. I think. God, you know, this is way extreme, but I can't help but think about this documentary I was watching on ESPN about Bartman.
Oh yeah,
and you know the incident with the Cubs and the Marlins in the 2003 National League pennant game where. Game 6, Cubs are up 3-2 in the series, and the ball goes in the stands, and everybody knows, you know, this fan, Steve Bartman, reaches over and interferes with the play, and they were comparing it to the Boston Red Sox incident with Bill Buckner,
where the ball goes
through the legs, and of course, everybody thinks about that stuff, but they were talking about how, you know, they talk about Buckner going through the legs, but they don't talk about is the pitcher before that who gave up like back-to-back-to-back hits.
Right.
And then the pitcher like also before that who threw a wild pitch and someone scored. Like mm-hmm. no one remembers that.
Right.
Everyone just remembers Bill Buckner, you know.
And the Cubs were winning when.
Yeah. And then it just went all in the toilet.
Right.
You know. So.
And that's Bartman's fault.
It's all Bartman's fault.
Yeah.
I watched that stuff and I was like, gosh, you know. I feel bad, but it's not quite as bad as that. You know? But it really does emphasize that anything can happen when you get into the playoffs. Like we said, if the Sharks get a good draw, if somehow they draw Detroit,
mm-hmm.
I think people will be feeling a little bit better. We'll have to get Red Wings Chris in here.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
For his third appearance.
We brought him on the podcast.
Haven't heard from him in a while.
Yeah, I saw him. I saw him at a game. Maybe a couple weeks ago. All right, he's still around.
He's still around.
Yeah,
okay.
We'll see
as they slowly drop it if the Sharks happen to climb. But can you imagine any scenario? I mean, of course you can imagine. But I mean, do you think the Sharks are not going to make it, dude? Or you think they're going to make it?
No, I think it's entirely possible that they won't make it. Hmm. Absolutely, sure. The Sharks could just completely fall asleep and lose to Dallas, and then they'll lose to LA at home. I mean, LA on the road, I mean, and then maybe they'd win the last game of the season and just get out-squeaked by somebody else. I think it's entirely possible.
Yeah. I see that game in LA being a game where we get a point. You know? I think if you can get a point down there, then you've done pretty well. I don't know what the extent of the injury is. I don't know if he's playing tonight. I know Jeff Carter was in a walking boot and on crutches. So
yeah.
That hurts. It literally hurts. And... You know, if he's not playing, or I saw you just flash to
yeah.
it. Let's see what it says.
I was on Puck Day there a second ago. Lightning host Capitals, no structural damage to Jeff Carter's ankle, is what it says here. Jeff Carter underwent an MRI this morning, and there was good news for his injured ankle. No structural damage was revealed, and he's considered day-to-day.
Good news according to who?
Yeah.
To Jeff according Carter. To you,
to Jeff
you
Carter.
Say. Jeff yeah. Carter. No, so anyways, well, at least he would be out. I mean, if he's possible to play, you got to imagine he's going to lace him up against the Sharks. But it's going to be a wild ride here these last few games, dude.
Yeah, yeah. All right, dude, let's talk. We got to talk about the Ray Ratto and Drew Mendup dust up because you posted.
The steel cage match?
Yeah, you posted on the blog, which is funny. There was a lot of,
tons of comments.
Lots of comments about that and people weighing in. Seems like most people were sort of on Team Ratto there for a while. Ray Ratto said, you know, he brought up their terrible road record this year, this calendar year, and said, you know, you just got to win these games. He's like, it looks like they aren't trying hard and just win the games. It doesn't matter. And Drew Amenda just went off. He lost his cool a little bit. Which I think he's entitled to do. It's not like he just like went crazy and started dropping F-bombs on Ray Ratto or something like that. You know, he got his dander up a little bit. That's okay. It makes for good television. And a lot of people sort of agree with Ray Ratto. So I appreciated the dust up. Ray Ratto was smiling like a Cheshire cat when they cut away to him as Drew Remenda was ranting, which was pretty funny. But you had a good point. I mean, Drew Remenda's sort of main point is, it seemed like he took the most umbrage with Ray Ratto saying something about how the Sharks aren't trying. And he says, you know, this team's really trying hard and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, okay, that's great. They're still losing games.
Right. So are we saying that when they're trying their best, they're just mediocre?
Right.
Like, okay, Drew, you're right. You know, good job.
Okay. I'll stipulate the Sharks are trying as hard as they can. They just happen to suck.
That game hurt. I mean, it hurt to see them take the only penalty in the game or mm-hmm. There's only been like three in the last two games or something crazy like that. I don't know, not the Dallas game, but before that.
The Phoenix game.
And just as the words are coming out of Randy Hahn's mouth that Phoenix has the 30th power play in the league, they score.
Right.
And you just can't believe that happened. Like, how do you give up a goal in that situation to the worst power play in the league? Gosh, you know, it's just, that's the kind of stuff that makes you crazy.
It makes you crazy. It makes you crazy.
That kind of mental lapse. And that came, you know, they could not buy a goal. They couldn't even buy, like, at times a good shot. Like,
yeah.
Kept getting blocked and blocked and so happy to pound away from the outside and not get anywhere. And frustrating, you know, really right. Frustrating. And I think that's where Ray Ratto initially lost his cool and just said, enough with the excuses, just win the game.
Right. Not, I don't think he was necessarily implying it was just easy. Just go ahead and flip the switch and win the game. But I think he was saying all this other stuff is just window dressing. Nobody cares. No, it's like, really nobody cares. We want to see the 2 points, right? And Tom McClellan said as much as well. He said, at this point in the season, it doesn't matter if you put out a good effort or you don't put out a good effort, whereas it might have mattered early in the year. At this point, it's just about wins and losses. And the Sharks got to remember that. It doesn't matter if you get 50 shots against Jonathan Quick. Nobody cares if you lose the game. If you lose the game, you're perfect on the penalty kill, or you're perfect on the power play, or whatever it is. If you lose the game, no one's going to remember that. They're going to say the Sharks lost one of the, you know, they basically really hurt their chances to make the playoffs by losing the last week of the season. It's just, that's what makes me really nervous about this whole week, because I don't know which team is going to come out, especially on the road. I'm very nervous about it. And the kind of goals that Joe Pavelski scored against Dallas are the kinds of goals that the Sharks need to be scoring. He had a wonderful deflection play, which was just amazing. And then he had just what Joe Thornton called it. He's a real dirty player. He didn't say dirty as in, he's a cheap shot artist, but he said dirty as in he gets dirty by going to the tough areas on the ice, namely right in front of the net. That's where he scored his first goal of the night. So the Sharks can score and go to those areas. They're going to do well. If they just pound away from outside and wait for Joe Thornton or somebody to retrieve it in the corner, it's going to be a long night. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a long night against those teams. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, it was an entertaining moment on television.
Yeah,
for sure. And it certainly got a lot of people to comment on the blog. A lot of people had a lot to say about it. So I certainly agreed with Ray Ratto in the moment. Was pretty frustrated with how they played. And I did question the effort in that game at times. I did. Like, you just lost to Anaheim the night before. I expected them to come out and just manhandle Phoenix. And yeah, maybe they outchanced them in the first period or something like that. Don't have those stats, right? Matt D'Agostini. But I mean, in the end, you go to Phoenix, you play a team that is lower than you in NHL pedigree and, you know, makeup, and you go in there and you play right into their hands and you play their game. We saw what happened when the Sharks got Phoenix to play their game opening night at the Tank.
Yeah.
We destroyed them.
Right. Right.
It's the same team. Right. I don't think Antoine Vermette makes that big of a difference, right?
I don't think so.
It's the same team. And you pick them apart.
Yeah.
And now, you know, I just don't like how they can. It's the same thing when they play St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. You play St. Louis.
You play right into their. You just. There doesn't seem to be a plan for how to not play right into their hands, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's another reason why we just can't get like the 7 or 8. It's not going to end well for us.
Dude, give us a rundown of the East, because there could be some matchups in the East that are going to be fun. If the Sharks miss the playoffs, of course, we're all going to be crushed and we're going to be, distraught about it all. I hope that the people who have been listening to us for a long time understand what's coming next. Those of you who maybe just started listening, you still got to watch the playoffs if the Sharks aren't there. You know, the way I characterize myself is I'm a hockey fan first and a Sharks fan second. There's going to be some great hockey. The first round of the playoffs is one of the best times of the year to watch hockey. You got 16 teams, 16 good teams playing playoff style hockey, and those are some of the best games of the year, and they're on every single night. You got to watch them. And one particular matchup I'm looking at, which I know is the one that you're looking at. So give us what is the matchup, dude? What's the good one?
Dude, I am thrilled about New Jersey, Florida. Let me tell you.
Who is it?
I'm setting my DVR, my TiVo.
Will Adam Larson play? Will he not
every
play?
Every recording device. Oh, dude, there's no doubt that I won't miss a moment of Flyers Penguins.
Yeah, like, that's going to be the series.
That's a great series, and that could have the makings of an Eastern Conference final, you know? These teams. The one thing that you don't like for someone who has the Penguins in the playoff pool that we did earlier is you don't like that matchup, because if Pittsburgh comes out of it, they could be
banged
up. They could be in deep trouble. You know what I mean? Physically, you could easily see that going 7.
Mm-hmm.
but it's going to be fun to watch.
It's going to be awesome. And this is the down, this is, we're witnessing the downside. You know, certainly we're seeing a little bit in the West with maybe the Sharks getting, or whoever gets the third seed, having fewer points than the 4, 5, and 6 seeds. Same's happening in the East right now. The three best teams in the East, if I'm not mistaken, are the Rangers, the Flyers, and the Penguins. And
that's
all,
right.
And they're all in the same division.
Right.
So that means the Flyers and the Penguins have to be the 4 and the 5. So, but that is going to be an awesome series. I'm really looking forward to it. My pick right now, I know we'll do more picks next week before the playoffs start, but you know, since Crosby's come back and Malkin's had a Hart Trophy caliber season, I can't help but pick the Penguins to come out of the East at this point. I know the Rangers have been playing great, but you give me the best player in the NHL and Sidney Crosby, I'll take those odds. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the Flower's been playing well too. So I like the Penguins in the East there, but that's going to be the series to watch. Of course, there's going to be, I think maybe all the Western Conference series are going to be good. Of course, you know, New Jersey, Florida, as you said, not that interested, but,
well, the road still goes through Boston. You know, I mean, you're going to have to go through Boston, and they'll be there waiting at the end probably because, well, I guess not. You know, I think New Jersey, if it's New Jersey, Florida, mm-hmm. New Jersey wins that series.
Yeah.
You know, so then, you know, you would move from there. But we won't get ahead of ourselves here. In the West, the matchups are nowhere close to set, dude. I mean, 3 through 8, it could finish anywhere. Actually, 1 through 8, because Vancouver and St. Louis are jockeying for. I mean, you could go from anything from, you know, the Sharks being 3rd and the Predators being 6th to the Sharks being 8th and St. Louis being 1st. So it's really completely up for grabs. Of those teams, I think we've said that we would prefer to see the Red Wings.
It's just we've been successful against this team. It's a pretty similar team to last year.
So of the others, let's say Nashville, Chicago, St. Louis, Vancouver, who's the team that you want to avoid absolute? And who's the team that, besides Detroit, you think the Sharks have the second best shot of advancing against?
I want to avoid Vancouver. I think Vancouver's a better team than St. Louis at this point. I think St. Louis, as I've said before, is largely a product of their system, albeit executed perfectly. I don't see St. Louis coming out of the West at this point. I could easily see Vancouver coming out of the West. So I would avoid Vancouver at all costs. And I would, even though this team has gotten a lot better this year, the Sharks have certainly owned them in playoffs of yesteryear, and that would be the Preds. I'd take the Preds as my second.
So, the Preds are stumbling a little bit down the stretch. You know, 4-5-1. Chicago's going the other way up. So you would probably want to catch the team that maybe is having a little bit of the same hangover the Sharks did when they acquired a bunch of new players. Takes a little time, you know, to get, you know, we've got Dominic Moore, Gagliardi, and Winnick all playing regular minutes now. And the same thing for the Preds. You got Hal Gill, you have the other Kostitsyn, and then you have Paul Gostad.
Right.
You know, that's an adjustment. And who could forget Radulov? So I wonder what their record is with Radulov.
Yeah, we have to look it up, but don't have it, Matt D'Agostini.
I'm looking.
You're looking now. Oh, so I got to fill this air now and talk about the Predators? Oh, this is fun.
Dude, what's that on your piano there? Is that a jersey?
No, it's a thing I got for Sharks for a day. It has my name and number on it. It's like a canvas thing. I got lots of swag. I don't know if I talked about it, but I got lots of swag at the Shark for a Day a fantasy thing. I got like a t-shirt and a polo shirt and a jacket and, you know, the jerseys I wore and a big old hockey bag. It was cool. I got lots of stuff. So what are you looking at, dude? Radulov?
Radulov has 6 points in his 6 games since he's been here. That's pretty darn good.
Pretty good.
And the game log here, it appears that the Preds have gone 3-3. So
about even.
About even.
Yep.
You know. But he's had an impact. He's scored and he's got points in 5 of those 6 games, so not bad. Yeah. Ironically, the team he did not score against is St. Louis. So we'll see a lot of it fluctuating, dude. It could be anything. We could be celebrating, you know, whenever we record this, possible, probably not until after Sunday's games, you know, so that we know what the final matchups are.
Right, right.
If the Sharks get the 3 seed, I guess you could imagine that their first game would be Thursday night. the next week, you know, they probably play a Thursday, Saturday situation. Mm-hmm. If they're on the road, it could be Wednesday, Friday, could be Thursday, Saturday. It all depends.
Yeah, it all depends. And I know where I got an email today about they're going to be sending playoff tickets. So, you know, we're not going to know the schedule until the very last minute, but it's brass tacks time. I know we never thought the Sharks would be in this position at the beginning of the year, no. where the last three games of the season would be absolutely critical and could determine whether the Sharks even make the postseason, especially since the Sharks were riding high for the first half. So, dude, we're going to hold a good thought.
Yeah, I've had people say to me, oh, well, you know, it hasn't worked out the other way when they've been on top.
Right.
So maybe this is the way that they are going to like make a run. And I go, that sucks. I don't like that. Like, yeah, let's play like crap, you know, for
6 weeks.
6 weeks and then back in at the last minute and then make a run.
I hope that's how it works, dude.
Well, that's how it's going to have to work, dude. Let's hope they get points in these last three. 5 points will do it, dude. So,
yeah, 5 points will do it.
5 points will do it, and hopefully we're back here talking Sharks playoff hockey.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.